listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday evening, November 13th. Dr. Niall Bulkley preaches a message entitled, Feed My Sheep.
John chapter 21, let's do a little background here. The Bible says this was the third time that Jesus had appeared to the disciples themselves, just the disciples, okay? Now, he was here on the earth for a while. He did several things. The Bible said he did many mighty works and different things. After he was resurrected, he appeared at the tomb to Mary, and he went to the upper room once. He went to the upper room a second time, and then he went out here on the beach there at the Sea of Tiberias, and he met with disciples. This was the third time Jesus had been crucified. They had already gone through the Garden of Gethsemane. They had already been in the upper room and then went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And then he was crucified. They went through that. Then he was buried and he died and was buried for 3 days. And then he was resurrected. And then on the first day of the week, Sunday, he came in to the upper room. They were having a church service. He walked in. Thomas wasn't there. But the others saw him, and Thomas came back and said, unless I see the prints in the hands and the feet, the side, I won't believe. And so he came to church next Sunday, shouldn't miss church. Anyway, Jesus showed back up, and Thomas saw him and believed. And now this is the third time that he appeared to them. Now, let me give you a little background here. Jesus was walking out there, and he hollered out there to the men. He said, hey, y'all doing any good fishing? That's what you do when you see somebody fishing. What do you ask them? Did you catch anything? Okay, where'd he come from? From the Bible. Okay. Okay. He asked them, did you catch anything? And they said, no. Like you do. No, I didn't catch anything, okay? And so he said, cast your net on the other side. And they said, well, man, we've been fishing all night. You know, the fish, it don't matter what side. If there's fish out of here, we're right in the middle of them. It doesn't make any difference. He said, cast your net on the other side. Now, they had seen Jesus do many miracles. They cast it on the other side. And the Bible says the draught of fishes was so great that the net almost broke. It didn't break on this instant. There was another instant where it did. But they drew in all these fish. And then Peter said, hey. I'm sorry. John said, hey, Peter. That's Jesus. And he said, oh my, I don't pass dress check. I'm going to get demerits again. Okay, I am not in my soul winning attire. Okay, some of you college students know how that is. Okay, and so it's okay. Peter did it too. All right. Peter, the Bible says, threw his coat about him, his fisherman's coat, okay, and jumped in the sea. Well, not good lands. I mean, how hard is it to swim with a coat on? Okay, but he was eager to see Jesus. And he left all the others to bring the fish in. Okay, I think it's funny. And the Bible says they pulled that net behind little boats, and they pulled it in. And there, when they got there, Jesus had fish cooking on the fire. And he said, hey, bring the fresh ones too. Bring those too. We'll have a fish fry. Okay, so they had an all-you-can-eat fish fry. Amen? Okay. And I think they had some garlic butter on that bread, okay? You eat the kind of bread you want to, but I think they had some garlic butter on that bread, okay? And so he appeared to the disciples, and he fed them. Now, why was he out there? Well, he was about to go back to heaven. There's only 11 disciples left. One of them went out and hung himself. That's 11. Seven of them were here out fishing. Peter was discouraged. Peter was down a little bit. Peter was not really knowing whether he wanted to go back to preaching. Peter really didn't know whether he wanted to go back to minister and serving the Lord. And a matter of fact, he told the other disciples, I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to go fishing. I really don't feel like I am worthy after what I did to do everything the Lord wants me to do. But I'm going to go fishing. He pulled six others of them with him. They all went out fishing. Now, Peter had some influence on this group. Now, as a matter of fact, Peter was not the pastor there at First Baptist in Jerusalem. James was. But let me tell you something. Peter had a lot of influence. And when he said, I would like to go. As a matter of fact, James, the half-brother of Jesus, was not there. Okay. But, and he was one of the disciples. But he said, I would like to go, but I'm just discouraged. I'm a little bit down. I really don't feel like I've blown it. I've messed up some. I've not done exactly right. And I really don't know. I just don't have the energy, the oomph, the desire to, look, I tell you what, I'll just go back to fishing. I'll just go back to fishing. Would you guys like to go with me? Well, a lot of disciples were fishermen before it ever got started. And they said, we'll go with you. We'll go with you. And so he took 7 out of the 11, only 4 that were left. You have influence on people. Now what happened? When Jesus showed up, you know who he talked to? He talked to Peter. He said, Peter, the other 6 are out here because of you. He said, you come out here to talk to us, Jesus? He said, no, I come out to feed them. I come talk to you. He said, come over here. He said, was that good fish? He said, oh, that was good. You really know how to cook it, Jesus. Okay? Now, we'd brag about, you know, smoking turkeys and cooking brisket and all that, but nobody could cook like Jesus. Amen? And he's gone to prepare a mansion for me, and we are going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen? And that's going to be some good eating. Okay? Now, Jesus came and said, Peter, I want to ask you something. He said, well, Lord, you can ask me anything you want to. He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. I've spent 3.5 years with you. You know I love you. And all Jesus did was look at him and said, feed my lambs. And then he said, Peter, let me ask you a question. Do you love me? He said, Lord, yes, I love you. I told you I love you. He said, feed my sheep. Okay, Jesus, that's fine. And Jesus is thinking, you're not getting this. Peter, your mother ever ask you something more than once? Okay. Your wife ever tell you something more than once? We don't want to go there. Okay. You're not getting this. Okay. Jesus looked at him again and said, Peter, do you love me the way you're supposed to love me? Do you really love me? And Peter was grieved. He said, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. What he was telling Peter, if you really love me, you will feed my sheep. You will feed my sheep. You will do what I ask you to do. That is what it's about. It's about the feeding the sheep. It's not about the fishing. It's about the feeding the sheep. Now let's look at Peter's life and see where he got up to this point. I think we can learn some lessons from the life of Peter. And then most of this is going to be an introduction. The end of it is just a little bit. I want to drive a point home. But first of all, let me say this. Just before the Peter backslid and denied Christ, they had been out. They'd been preaching. Peter had done some things. You know, Peter was an amazing man. Peter was one of the ones that went up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John. He was one of the ones. He was the inner circle. That was Peter. Peter was the one. We say only one person. You know, when you see in the bookstore, only one person can walk on water. No, Peter walked on water. Peter walked on water. He went out toward Jesus, walked away. And then he looked back, got a little scared, but he walked on water more than I did. He stepped out of that boat and he said, eat your heart out, Moses. God had to part the water for you. Joshua, God had to part the water for you. Check it out. Okay, but anyway, but he got a little carried away. But nobody else walked on the water. Nobody else walked on water. Peter walked on water. Peter was an amazing man. An amazing man. He told Jesus, I'm willing to die for you. Peter loved the Lord. And Jesus knew that. In the upper room, Jesus told them, I am going to come into Jerusalem. He entered into Jerusalem on the donkey. They threw the palm branches in the way. They said, they cried Hosanna. And then because Jesus did not set up his kingdom, overthrow the Romans, they were looking for a Messiah that was going to take and make the millennial kingdom. And Jesus said, that's not what I came for right now. I came to save you from your sins. They said, we don't want a Jesus to save us from our sins. We want a Jesus to put a chicken in every pot. We want a Jesus to run the government. That's what they were looking for. And let me tell you something. During the Antichrist time, the government and the one who claims to be the Christ, the Antichrist, will be hooked together. That's what they were looking for. Jesus said, no, this is not the time for that. But just before he was crucified, he said, go talk to a man, get an upper room. We are going to have the Passover together, and you'll look at the book of John, and there's 3 or 4 chapters where he taught them just at that Last Supper. It wasn't just the supper. He preached 3 or 4 chapters of sermons to them. Now, what happened? Where was Peter? I think Peter was doing good here. But when they got the room, I don't know who booked the room. Nathaniel, Peter, James, John. I don't know who booked the room, but somebody booked the room. It wasn't their house. They rented a room for them to meet in. It was the custom of the Jews when you went to somebody's house, when you entered their house as a guest, to have a wash basin there and a towel and to wash their feet. That was courtesy. That was common courtesy that you offered guests. They rented a room. You see, here's where Peter was, and this was the other disciples too. This wasn't just Peter. He was willing to serve Jesus, but not the other disciples. They walked in, and there set the water. Because the man rented the room to him because of Jewish custom. He had a water basin there, and he had some towels. Guaranteed. They walked in, and Peter said, I'm not doing it. John said, if Peter ain't doing it, I ain't doing it. James said, I ain't doing it. The other James said, well, James 1 ain't doing it. James 2 ain't doing it. So they all sat around, and Jesus walked in. The Bible said he laid his robe aside. He girded a towel about him. He said, y'all come here. He started washing their feet, and one by one, they went up there and hung their head. And Peter's back there watching. He says, I can't look like a fool. I got to be spiritual here. He said, no, Lord, no, you can't wash my feet. You can't wash my feet. Don't want you to do that. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, he said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me. He said, well, then don't just wash my feet. Wash all of me. He said, no, no, no. You don't have to get re-saved. You get saved once, but you have to confess your sins. That's what they're talking about. He said, but let me wash your feet. But he shamed the disciples because, see, here's the problem. Their little backs, they were willing to serve Jesus, but they weren't willing to serve each other. They weren't willing to feed the sheep. They're willing to serve the shepherd, but not feed the sheep. Then we see that at the Last Supper in the upper room, all the disciples were sitting around arguing who was going to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. How many did you have on your bus route? How many did you have on your bus route? How many did you have last Sunday night? How many did you have last Sunday night? How many Bible chapters did you memorize this week? Okay. How many verses did you do? Okay. Did you get on time? We made it on time this week. We got the bonus points, did you? Okay. And I'm telling you, they were bragging. They were trying to decide in the kingdom of heaven who would have the most important position. During the millennial kingdom, God is going to place us according to what we've done here on earth. He will give us positions. The Bible teaches that. So they begin to argue among them who was going to have the highest position, who was going to be the greatest. They were arguing about that. You're not supposed to argue with the sheep. You're supposed to feed the sheep. You're supposed to nurture the sheep. You're supposed to care for the sheep. But here were their attitude at that point wasn't taking care of the sheep. It was who's got the biggest horns. Who can push the hardest? Who's the biggest sheep? Who's the most important sheep? That's what they were doing there. Jesus was about to go to the cross. He said, guys, come up. This will be the last sermon I get to preach to you before I die. And he was over eating and washing their feet. And he was getting ready to preach to them and tell them stuff. And they're over arguing about, when you went out on your trip, what made you have saved? What did the minister say? And it's a good thing to tell others, but not to brag about it. They were arguing about who was the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, while they were sitting there, I'm trying to give you a little background leading up to something. Jesus went out there on the beach, there at the Sea of Tiberias. He said, Peter, I want your attention. We got a problem here. What led up to this problem? He was willing to serve Jesus, but not others. I'll serve the shepherd, but not the sheep. And then he was more interested in deciding who the biggest sheep was, who the most important sheep was. And Jesus said, no, I don't want you to decide who the most important sheep is. Just get out there and help the sheep. And then thirdly, he bragged and boasted to the Lord about how he would not do wrong. Jesus was preaching and teaching along here, and he turned to Philip. He said, who's the guy we're talking about? Peter. Yeah, him. Okay. Y'all stay up here. He turned to Peter and said, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. He's going to attack you especially through all this. I want you to be careful. I want you to, and when you are converted, strengthen the brethren. He said, Satan would have you. Satan would desire to sift you as wheat. He's going to come after you. And Peter said, not me. Not me. All these other guys can deny you. They can take off. They can desert. Not me, Jesus. I'm your tightest. I'm the best. I'm the most loyal. I wouldn't do that. And Peter looked at him and said, Before the rooster crows, you will deny me thrice. And Peter said, no, Lord, that's not me. You obviously got me mistaken with one of these other 11 here. Okay. Didn't you see my activity report? He bragged. You know, when we get proud, let me tell you something. There is no sheep. Now, we're not talking about salvation. Once you're one of the sheep, you don't lose your salvation. But there's no sheep that doesn't stray occasionally. There's no sheep that's perfect. There's no sheep without sin. There is not one sin that you can think of that a Christian could not do. You say, well, I would never do that. You stay on the wrong path and you will. You go down the wrong path, you will. Peter was sitting there and said, I would never deny Christ. I would never curse, use the name of God. I would never curse. I would never deny Christ. Never. Do you understand? I've been walking with him for 3.5 years. I would never do that. David was not where he was supposed to be, not doing what he was supposed to be doing. He lusted. He committed adultery. He murdered the woman's husband. This was David, the beloved king, the man after God's own heart. But yet we say, I'll go this far, but I wouldn't go that far. No, you got on the wrong path. You may keep going. There's no sin that a Christian could not commit. That'll make you lose your salvation. But when we think that we're above sin, when we think that we're a better Christian than others, when we think that we might not fall, the Bible says, take heed. Take heed. You say, well, I'm a well-trained sheep. I'm a good sheep. I'm not a bad sheep. You don't understand. I am the teacher's pet. I am the closest one. I never stray. No, that's not the case. And when we get off a little bit and the Lord tries to call us back and we get a little further and the Lord, there's no telling where you're going to end up. There's no telling where you're going to end up. Peter got proud. He boasted. He said, Lord, I understand that you feel you're warning me. You know, preacher's up there preaching. You better watch what you watch. You better watch what you listen to. You better watch where you're going. You better watch who you hang out with. You say, well, I understand that. And for these younger little baby Christians and for the college students, you know, if they listened to that, it'd take them down, but not me. Not me. You know, if they went to that kind of Christmas party, it would probably be hard on them, but not me. I believe that's what Peter said. I believe that's what Peter said. He said, not me, Lord. There's no sin that a Christian can't commit. Number next, four if you're counting. Jesus said, y'all come on. I warned you, Peter. And he said, not me, Lord. He said, come on, we're going to go pray. We're going to go out to the garden. We're going to pray. There was 12 of them, plus Jesus, 13. He let them all sit. Pray. Kneel. And then he took Peter, James, and John, the inner circle, took them a little further. He said, watch and pray that you enter not into what? Temptation. He said, Peter, if you don't watch and pray, you're going to do what I said you're going to do. And Porter Peter did. I prayed this morning. I already prayed today. It's been a long day. God is good. God is great. All them things I said this morning, ditto. Amen. Okay. Don't laugh at me. You know you've done that. Lord bless so and so and so and all the staff and all the missionaries, all the people that teach up here. You know who they are. Don't laugh. You know. But it's not invitation time yet. Okay. But Peter, he said, watch and pray. And here's the deal. Jesus knew how much influence Peter had. They watched him. When he came back from praying and sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. You know who he talked to? Peter. There was James and John there. Hello? Read your Bible. And he said, Peter, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Yeah. could you not pray for 1 hour? I'm fixing to go to the cross. He knew what invite. You know what happened? Those other two watched Peter. Peter said, am I my brother's keeper? And Jesus said, yes, you are. Strengthen the brethren. Feed my sheep. If you hadn't gone to sleep, Peter, the other two wouldn't have gone to sleep. If you, Peter, being the one of influence, being the one that has the strongest personality, if you would say, hey, sheeps, James and John, listen to me. Let's pray. But we're tired. No, let's pray. Let's take turns. When you get through praying, wake me up and I'll pray. And then when I get through praying, I'll wake him up. No, okay, no. Okay, don't do it that way. Okay, I don't think that's what God wanted there. Okay, but nevertheless, when he came out, he talked to Peter and said, Peter, could you not watch with me 1 hour? And then he went back and prayed some more. And when he came back the second time, he said, sleep on. What's going to be done is going to be done. I've already talked to the Lord. I know what's going to happen. Sleep on. But you see, Peter fell asleep twice instead of praying. And Jesus said, you better watch and pray. You better watch and pray. We're leading up to something. Then, you say, what did Peter do now? He tried to do God's work in the arm of the flesh. This is humorous. There was a guy named Malchus. He was a servant of the high priest. The priest went and got a bunch of soldiers and went to arrest Jesus. It was an illegal arrest. It was an illegal court hearing. It was at night. There was nothing right about it. Okay? It was all an illegal hearing. It was a kangaroo court. But they came in the middle of the night. They snuck over and attacked Jesus and took him by force. Some of the high priest and some of the soldiers there. And there was a guy that showed up. The Bible says the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. They had two swords with them. Here all these soldiers show up with swords strapped on their side. You know, here's 50 people come to attack you and you got 6 bullets. That ain't going to help a whole lot, folks. But Peter said, he woke up, saw all these people. Judas went up, kissed Jesus on the cheek. And the people said, are you, this is such a person? And Jesus said, I am. And the Bible says they fell over backwards. That was the power of God. And Peter stood up and said, let me show you what I can do with my sword. Jesus just knocked them down. Okay. Kind of like some of them pictures you're sending around. You karate kid. Okay. But anyway. All right. And so he said, here, look, let me show you what I know. And he drew his sword. And did he attack a soldier? Soldiers got the swords. He attacked a servant of the high priest. He just whacked out there. And he wasn't even a good aim. He's a fisherman. He should have hooked him. Should have put a net on him. Pulled him in. Okay, done what he knew. But he pulled that sword out and whacked him. And you said, well, he only cut his ear off. This fellow, he wasn't aiming for his ear. He's a bad shot. He wasn't aiming for his ear. He's aiming for his head. Glanced off his head, cut his ear off. Malchus. I believe the man got saved. Jesus reached down. Said, Peter, put your sword up. Couldn't Jesus have called 10,000 angels? Couldn't he have refused to go to the cross? Couldn't he have been swept back up to heaven immediately? Couldn't he not have breathed fire down upon them like Elisha did? He could have. He said, put your sword up, Peter. He reached down. He got that ear. I'm not making this up. You think he put a dirty ear back on? He stuck it back on. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't clean his tunic. He didn't clean his shirt. My wife gets so mad. I stick a pen in my pocket. It leaks. I forget. I stick it in. I don't close it. The other day I was talking to my son. We went to do something. He handed me something. Had an open pen. It wrote on his shirt. He said, oh, you better believe I'm going to tell my wife you did that because I didn't do that one. That's what he said. I'm your dad, son. Don't get me in trouble with your wife. No, I ain't getting in trouble. This man went home that night, Malchus. After all was said and done, he went home and he snuck in. He tried to put it in the bathtub and put some water on it, you know. His wife said, you got another one dirty? You got blood all over this time. What happened? He said, I ain't telling. Well, you better. He said, you won't believe me if I told you. She said, tell me what happened. He said, well, this crazy follower of Jesus cut my ear off and Jesus stuck it back on. And she said, I can't see nothing there. It doesn't look like it's been cut to me. I don't see any stitches. You're lying again. Okay. It was a long night, folks. Okay. Why do you think there's any? The Bible says there's nothing new underneath the sun. You think it was any easier for him than it was you? Okay. It doesn't change. But anyway, Peter fell asleep instead of praying. Peter tried to do God's work in the arm of the flesh. You don't drive sheep. You lead sheep. You lead sheep. Where are we getting at tonight? Feed my sheep. Nurse my sheep. Take care of my sheep. You don't do, when you're serving the Lord, you don't serve God in anger. Anger does not get God's job done. If you're angry, back off. That's not the Holy Spirit's power. That's wrath. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Well, I'm just going to tell that parent this, and I tell you what, if that teenager does that again, that bus kid does that again, whoa, that's not the Holy Spirit's power. The next thing Peter did is he followed afar off. He didn't stay close to Jesus. He got backslidden. He went to church occasionally, rode the bus occasionally, sang in a choir. He followed afar off. He was still doing, but he wasn't doing all he should be doing. He followed afar off. He wasn't sold out. He said, I'm not going to deny Christ. I'm not going to forsake him, but he wouldn't get up close to him. This is as far as I'll go. I'll go Sunday morning, but I won't go Sunday night. I'll go Sunday morning, Sunday night, but I won't go Wednesday. I'll tithe, but I won't give an offering. Come on. And then we see Peter running with the wrong crowd. He started sitting with the wrong crowd, walking with the wrong crowd, talking with the wrong crowd, and he warmed himself by the fire with the wrong crowd. And they said, hey, are you one of those disciples guys? Haven't we seen you preaching around town and stuff like that, carrying, passing out them tracts with that little baby's picture on it, you know, that kind of thing? Peter said, that wasn't me. And then one of the other guys said, hey, didn't we see you down there that time they were passing out those fish and chips? They said, no, that wasn't me. That wasn't me. And then the little girl said, you know, you even talk like a Christian. And he cursed. That was the third time. Rooster crowed. Now, I believe this is one of the most poignant verses in the Bible. The Bible, Jesus was standing trial before Pilate. And the Bible says Jesus turned and looked at Peter. Wow. Peter caught his eye. What was in that look? I don't think it was anger. I don't think it was, Peter, I told you. I think it was hurt. Peter, you blew it. Now don't do anything other stupid. Don't go any further. Don't blow it anymore. And the Bible says that Jesus turned and looked at Peter, and Peter saw him. They made eye contact. What an amazing look that must have been, of compassion, of love, of forgiveness. Peter, I still believe in you. All that was said just like that. Then the Bible says that Peter went out and wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. He cried his eyes. He said, look, I've been walking with this man. I'm saved. That's my Savior. That's the one who's going to die for me. That's the one that's going to be the Passover lamb. And yet I denied him. I cursed. I said I didn't know him. How could I do such a thing? You know good and well you've been there. You've been in your prayer life. You said, Lord, I can't believe I did that again. Lord, you know I can't believe that I did that. And I'm so ashamed of myself. And I'm so hurt. And I'm asking your forgiveness. I think he wept out of sorrow. I think he wept out of bitterness. I think he wept out of hurt. And I think he asked for forgiveness. I truly believe that he asked for forgiveness. I believe he tried to get right with God. I do believe that. I don't believe he said, well, you know, they forced me to do it. And, you know, a person's not going to get right until he confesses his sins. I believe Peter confessed to his sin. I believe he got right with God in his heart. Then we see that when Jesus was resurrected, that somebody came and told the disciples they were meeting, they were praying, they were scared. And they said, the tomb is empty. Jesus is not there. And the Bible says Peter and the other disciple went to see. And the other one was ahead and outran Peter and got to the tomb first. But Peter ran in. He was standing there looking, and Peter just went on in. Peter did everything without asking. Peter did everything without thinking, amen? He just ran on in. He was excited. He wanted to know what was going on. I believe he had tried to get right with God. I believe he had confessed his sin. I don't believe that he was still running from Jesus here. Listen to me. I'm going somewhere with this. I believe that Peter tried to get right. He ran ahead. He ran into the tomb. And then on the first day of the week, he went to the upper room. And they were sitting there meeting behind locked doors, scared to death. And in walked Jesus through the walls. And he preached to them. And Peter was there. And they loved Jesus. And they listened to Jesus. And they heard Jesus. And then another time, Jesus showed up and met with his disciples. And Peter was there. And he'd asked forgiveness. And he tried to get right. And I believe he was sincere about it. But something was lacking. Something was lacking. Something was lacking. When they were in the upper room and Jesus was talking to them, and he said, Peter, listen to me. You're going to mess up. Jesus said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. He said, when this is all said and done, when this is all over, remember this. When you get back up on top, strengthen the brethren. Feed my sheep. Understand what it's about. You see, he had to rededicate his life to God's calling. Feed my sheep. Strengthen the brethren. What had happened? He had wept bitterly. He had asked forgiveness. He had gone to the tomb. He had gone to church. He had seen Jesus there at the upper room. He had seen Jesus again. But then he got a little discouraged. Look, I'm not worthy to get back out there. I'm not worthy to preach. I'm not worthy to go sowing. I'm not worthy to be a deacon in the church. I'm not worthy. None of us are worthy. None of us are without sin. And Peter went to the other disciples and he said, look, we hadn't seen Jesus since the second time, but I just don't know that I can get back in and do everything I was doing. I made a big fool of myself. I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing. And he took six others with him. Six others with him. Jesus said, remember, Peter, when thou art converted. That means when things are reversed, when things are turned back around, when you get back up, when you get back into it. Strengthen the brethren. That's what it's all about. Feed the sheep. Nurture the sheep. That's what you're here for, Philip. I mean, Peter. Listen to me. See, this is what we want. We want the middle ground. Listen to me. All that was introduction. We want to get right. We want to ask forgiveness. We want to ask God, forgive us for that TV show, for that music we listen to, for missing church. We want to ask God to help us to be better at reading our Bible, to be better in our prayer life. You see, we want to get right by God by purging that sin, by not doing wrong. But I'm not going to go there anymore, Lord. I'm not going to watch that anymore. I'm not going to see that anymore. I'm not going to gossip anymore. I'm not going to do those things. I'm not going to curse anymore. I'm not going to deny you anymore, Lord. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. You say, I got right with God. No, not yet. You haven't. And then we say, okay, I understand that. I'm not the Christian I should be. I'm going to start reading my Bible. I'm going to start praying. I'm going to start being a godly example to my kids. I'm not going to curse. I'm not going to watch what I shouldn't. I'm not going to do what I shouldn't. I'm not going to be unkind. I'm going to read more of my Bible. I'm going to get some prayers answered. I'm going to pray. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to control my tongue. He's talking about doing 180 degree here. He said, when thou art converted, when you're back up on top, when everything is right, strengthen the brethren. And you say, okay, I'm going to get right with God. I've messed up. I've done some things. I'm not exactly where I should be, but I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to change. I'm going to put that aside. I'm not going to act that way. I'm not going to use foul language. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to hang around those people. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to get my life right. I'm not going to smoke that. I'm not going to drink that. I'm not going to hang around that crowd. Well, you're not there yet. Then we go to, but are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? Are you getting your prayers answered? Do you have a song in your heart? Are you faithful to church? Are you coming? You said, yes, I am. Yes, I am. But wait a minute. You're not there yet. Peter said this. I'm not going to cuss. I'm not going to deny. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to miss church. And Jesus came out there and said, hey, Peter, come here. Do you love me? He said, well, Lord, you know I love you. I'm not cussing. I'm not watching bad things on TV. He gave up all that. Matter of fact, Peter sold his TV. Okay. Whatever it was, they had bad. There's nothing new under the sun. They could look at bad things. They could see bad things. They could hear bad things. There's nothing new underneath the sun. Just technology makes it quicker. Let me just say something back to technology. And this ain't the message tonight. But I'm tired of wrestling with the stinking devil. I ask you parents. You got teenagers. Would you buy a Corvette for your child, give them the license to it, insurance, and give them the keys? You say, well, no, I'm not a fool. It'd kill them. I'd rather my child be wrapped around a tree and bloody and put them in a box than what that internet and what that phone is doing to your kid. I'd rather give them a Corvette. You are killing your kids. You have no idea who they're texting. You have no idea who their friends are. You'd be surprised what Brother Boca could tell you about who your kids are texting. You ought to stink and go home and put your kid's phone up before he deletes all that stuff. Take it away from him and see who all you... There are people that your kid is associating with, texting, girls that are older, girls that are younger, different people that your kid is talking to that you wouldn't... If they came over like it was in the 50s and wanted to play in your front yard, you'd bring your kids inside and say, no, you're not playing with those kids. Hello? But you let them associate in chat rooms and on the internet and in texting. Oh, my kid ain't on the internet. But he texts everybody and their dog. They're sending pictures to each other. They're sending videos to each other of rock music. I wouldn't buy a Corvette for my son. He'd kill himself. But you don't know who he's texting. You don't know who his friends are. God help us. I'd rather bury my kid than to see where that's going to take them. Now we'll fast forward back to the message. That was just a commercial. You're going to lose your kids. Jesus went out there and said, Peter, how's it going? He said, Lord, I hadn't cussed in a long time. He said, Lord, I've been faithful to church. Lord, I've been tithing. Lord, I've been going to church like I should. Lord, I'm not watching what I shouldn't. I'm not going where I shouldn't. I'm not hanging around the wrong crowd. I'm not warming by the wrong fire. I'm not doing that anymore, Lord. He said, I know that. He said, Lord, I want you to know I'm faithful in church now. I'm going on Sunday morning. I'm going on Sunday night. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, well, you know I do, Lord. He said, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Well, yes, I love you. You see the change in my life. You see what I'm doing. I'm trying to live a Christian life here. I'm trying to do what I should do. I've forsaken these things. I'm going to church. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. He said, you missed the point, Peter. When thou art converted, when you're all the way back up the way you're supposed to be, like you were when you were going around and winning people to Christ and doing things as we were going around, that's when you're back to serving people. You're back to the ministry. Feed my lamb. Do you love me? Yes, feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Nourish them. Take care of them. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are. When thou art converted, when you're all the way back up, strengthen the brethren. Well, no, this ain't about the brethren, Lord. I'm doing good just not to do wrong. I'm doing good just not to cut. I'm doing good just to control my own music. I'm doing good just to be there. I'm doing good just to give my tithe, Lord, and you want me to do something for somebody else? That's what it's about. It's about others. It's not about you. He said, Peter, I'm glad you're not cussing. I'm glad you're going. Both times I've come to church, you were there. I'm glad you're praying and you're not sleeping anymore. But do you love me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. You see, I don't mind driving a bus 50, 60, 70 miles on Sunday. That's not a problem. It's all them stinking kids that are screaming and hollering, hanging out the window, and them workers fussing back there. You know, give me an empty bus and I'll drive it around the block every time. Just keep driving it, amen? It's not about driving a bus. It's about putting up with the workers. It's about putting up with the captains. It's about putting up with the kids. You say, Lord, I'll be a bus captain, but don't give me any workers. Just give me the kids. Or, Lord, I'll be a bus captain, but let me work with these college students, but don't give me any kids on my bus. That's not what it's about. I read my Bible this week. I went to church. I showed up at the bus meeting. I go out and minister to those kids. Go out and minister to those workers. It's about touching people's lives. You see, we get selfish. Peter said, I can't get out there again. I'll get hurt. I've given myself and given myself and given myself. And I'm going to get hurt again. I'm ready to just get in and do right and do my prayers and read my Bible and say amen in church, but don't put me with people. I don't mind mechanicking on the bus. It's those people. I don't mind putting an alternator on a bus. I don't mind putting a tire on a bus. It's in people. They don't turn in them reports that bother me. You know, it's okay to cuss a bus when nobody else there. It's like the tree that falls, you know, you don't hear it. You know, when you cuss a bus, nobody's around. It's a bus. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. You know, it's like, it's not murder if somebody's trying to hurt you. You know, if you kill somebody, that's not murder. That's cussing a bus. I think it's legal somewhere. Okay. As long as nobody hears it. Not really. But you know, truth of the matter is, it's not the bus that makes us mad. It's the people that make us mad. You missed the point. It's not about fixing the bus. It's about working with people. You say, I don't mind sitting with the kids in the nursery. I really don't. I love to be a nursery worker. It's all those mothers when they pick them up. Excuse me, but you know it's true. Okay, I don't want to call it the wrong thing. Bible blazers, isn't it? That's not what I normally call it. Okay, but it's Bible blazers, okay? All right, I have another name for it, okay? Bible blazers, is that what it is? Man, it's great to work with those kids. And they get in there and they get all excited and they get excited and they do their verses. The kids aren't the problem. It's the parents that don't send them with their quarter. It's the parents that don't send them in the right uniform. It's the parents that don't make... It's the parents you want to kill. Not the kids. It's working with people. I don't mind working in the nursery. It's in moms. I don't mind teaching in the academy. It's the parents that's the problem. You don't send me out to one of them roll-off homes. Give me all them kids for 3 years, no parents. Amen. It's the parents and the rat of the week that's the problem, okay? Whichever rat they've got in there this week. You say, I don't mind teaching. You say, I don't mind being a secretary, filing papers, getting coffee, doing reports. It's when those people call up and chew you out on the phone. I want to know why the preacher, why you people down there don't do this. Are you? What do you mean, you people? Are you a visitor? No, I'm one of the members, but it's you people. Why are y'all doing this? Why did they decide this? Are you a visitor? No, I'm a member. But you can always tell when a member's hot and bothered because they say, why do you people? Why do y'all? Why did they do this? You know, I file papers all day. Whistle, sing, God bless you. Mind cleaning bathrooms is when people come along and don't help me. It's when they leave it all to me. Is when they gripe about what I did and don't appreciate it. I don't understand why I said that. Well, you know, at least I did this much. You see, it's not the commode you get mad at. It's not the paper hanging up. You don't come in there and say, paper's hung again. Not what you do. You get mad at people. Excuse me, but you know it's true. I don't mind setting up the kitchen. I don't mind cleaning it. I don't mind doing some things out there, you ladies say. But don't put me over seven women. Just let me do it on my own. Don't put me out there with a bunch of women. Just, I'd rather take 3 hours and do it by myself than minister, nurture, feed the sheep, and take an hour and a half and speed it up because I'm dealing with, and it just frustrates me. Well, hello. I thought that's what it was about. Jesus said, Peter, when thou art converted, when you're all the way back up, not just past the sin, not just past the backsliding, not just getting back in your Bible reading, not just going to church, not just tithing, not just praying, but when you're converted, when you're all the way back up, strengthen the brethren. He said, no, I come here to be strengthened. No, you come here to strengthen. Who are you ministering to? I don't mind going to work. I don't mind making overtime so my kids can go to a Christian school. But I'm not staying up 3 or 4 hours of discipline until 2 a.m. They're your sheep. They're your lambs. You'd rather the school secretary, the school teacher wrestle with them. You'd rather the principal wrestle with them. You'd rather the youth director wrestle with them. We got more rules in the academy and the college about cell phones and computers than you do at home. I don't mind working overtime and providing my kids and sending them up to that Christian school, but I'm not staying up and wrestling with them about what's wrong in their life. If you're going to get kids to do right, it takes some wrestling. It takes some time. It takes some ministering. It takes some nourishing. It takes some feeding. Sometimes you have to force feed the kid when he's sick. You're going to eat this. I don't want it. Spit it out. You're going to eat it. You've done that, mamas. I don't mind being married. I don't mind providing. I don't mind getting my wife a nice house. I don't mind giving her money for Christmas. But do I have to talk and go on a date? And if I do go on a date, do I have to talk? And if I talk, do I have to take her on a date? Could I just do one a week? Come on. Don't look at me like a calf at a new gate. Don't treat me like I don't know what I'm talking about. I'll start calling names. You know good and well, your wife says, could we talk? Oh, honey, I'm so tired. That's your sheep. That's the weaker vessel. God has given her to you to nurture, to cherish. Whoa. Oh, no, I'm just supposed to provide for her, make sure the money's there, and make sure the kids are enrolled. That's my job. No. You're supposed to nurture. You're supposed to feed that lamb. You're supposed to feed that sheep. God gave you that woman. What sheep do you have? Well, you got your family. You got your own kids. You got your mate. You got your parents. You're supposed to nurture. You're supposed to minister. You got your, where's Michael? Say the word, son. What's that word, that nasty word? You got your what? Sister. I don't cuss her. I don't fight with her. I pray for her. And God said, you ain't right. I ain't cussing her. I ain't fighting with her. I don't hit her anymore. I don't speak bad about her. I pray for her. But are you ministering to her? Me and my sister? That's fine. Don't fight. Don't fuss. Don't cuss. How do you do that? Distance. I'm not lying. I'm not making up something here. You know you got people in your family. You know that. God said, you're not right until you minister. You're not right until you nurture. You're not right until you feed. You're not right until you strengthen. What sheep do you have? Your church family. It's not just Brother, what's your name? Palmore's job to encourage the choir. You're supposed to encourage. There's a new guy in the choir. There's an old member show back up. You're supposed to encourage them. Say, hey, it's good to see you back. You're supposed to nurture. You're supposed to encourage. Adult Sunday school class. She said, I'm not the teacher. What's that got to do with the price of rice in China? You're supposed to encourage the other members of the class. You're not supposed to just pray for them. You're supposed to encourage them, help them, check on them, see what they need. That's the teacher's job. No, it's not. You say, I'm a good Christian. I am coming faithful to Sunday school class. It's been 3 weeks since I missed my adult Sunday school class. Well, lovely. Did you say anything kind? Did you encourage a new member? Did you help a visitor? Did you sit with them in church? Well, no, I think that's the teacher's job, isn't it? No, it's your job. What about the music program? There's so much that goes on here. How many people go up these guys that sang tonight and said, hey, your sister did a great job with you? The ladies' meeting. You know what we do? We come to the lady meeting. You do, I don't. Okay, come to the ladies' meeting to be fed. To be fed. Who are you sitting by? Who are you nourishing? Who are you feeding? Who are you encouraging? Who did you call before it started to make sure they were here? Well, man, I tell you what, I used to gripe about them and having to do them, and I got my heart right, and I'm coming now, and I'm faithful to them, and I'm doing what I'm both. No. Not unless you call somebody and get them here, encourage them to be here, sit by them. But the Far Above Rubies workers, amongst themselves, amongst each other, amongst the kids. You have sheep, not just the kids, each other. What about the bus route workers? You say, oh, no, my job is these kids. I'm assigned this group. I'm assigned these kids. These are the 15 that I bring. And you don't say anything to that other college student? You don't say anything to that bus worker on Sunday? Well, no, you know, the bus director says something and the captain says something, but, you know, I don't know them that well. God said, you're not there yet. You're not there yet. You're on that bus to minister. You're on that bus to strengthen the brethren. You're on that bus to feed God's sheep. You are your brother's keeper. You got your family. You got your church family. What sheep do you have? Those that God's placed under you. Your own kids. Your bus kids. Your Sunday school kids. Your Sunday school class. It's not about the cupcakes and the Tootsie Rolls. Man, I have the cleanest bus. I have the most organized bus. I have the best decorations on the bus. We have the best promotions. God bless you. But that's not what it's about. It's about reaching those kids. It's about sitting by them, going home. It's about checking out their problems. It's about praying about them. It's about knowing what's going on in that home. It's about knocking on that door and going and telling that parent, I heard what was going on. I want to pray for you. People are hurting. Where's Brother Kramer? There's a guy that left this morning, Brother Kramer's class, came crying in my office. He said, pray, Brother Bulkley, I've got a friend named D. He's driving to church down in Pleasant Grove. Somebody shot across the road. He caught the bullet. They're taking him to the hospital right now. We're supposed to minister to him. I stopped. I prayed. It's not about the cupcakes and the Tootsie Rolls. It's not about the orange. It's about touching lives. It's about encouraging. It's about praying. It's about giving. It's about helping someone back up. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I do. Feed, nurture my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Well, Lord, yes. Feed, nurture my lambs, my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. You say, Brother Bulkley, I think I could be a better Christian. I think I could read my Bible better. I think I could pray better. I think I could come to better church better and get more out of the sermon. This dealing with people is just too much. It's getting to me. Hello? All these family problems, all these church people, all that's going on in the nursery. It's just too much. A number of years back, man was brought up for the deacon board at this church. A fine man, a good man, a godly man. And this is what he said. I don't want to be a deacon. He did not want to have the accountability to be responsible for dealing with people. I don't want to know everything that a deacon has to know and know. I want to be able to just come up, shake their hands, say, God bless you, brother. But I don't want to get involved in their lives. And deacon has to do that. He has to carry a heavier load for the preacher. He said, I don't want that. Not ministering. I tell Brother Wells constantly, Brother Wells, I'm wanting to pastor. I think God's calling me to pastor in Wyoming, a church that's 100 miles away from anywhere. About 60 people. They're all over 60 years of age. They have no children. Grandkids only come twice a year. The buildings are paid for and they're clean. And y'all don't laugh. Those kind of people need loving too. Somebody's got to nurse. Somebody's got to feed them. Somebody's got, I mean, you go down there and you start that stinking orphanage. Whatever God leads you to do. I think I'm going this way, man. No, that's not the way it works, folks. If I ever go to another church, I don't know nothing about nothing. I'm going to sing in a choir. And I'm going to miss about half of the practices. And I'm going to show up just at time to walk in on time for church. And I'm going to sit at the back. And as soon as the invitation starts, or as soon as I'm out of here. Well, hello. That's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. There's visitors here. There's new members here. Well, I got to get home. I've got all these kids. I got to do this. I got to do that. Well, God bless you. That's not what it's about. Nurture them. Feed them. Brother Boca, I got to go home and feed my sheep. We're not talking about physical. We're talking about spiritual, okay? But there's some sheep around here that need ministry. You are your brother's keeper. It's about people. It's about people. It's about people. It's about others. It's about touching other people's lives. Peter went through all these things. Listen to me. He got backslidden. He messed up. He did some things he shouldn't. And he said, not for me. I'm going to get right. No more cussing. No more denying Christ. No more doing wrong. No more hanging with the wrong crowd. No more sniffing in that secondhand smoke. No more going to them beer Christmas parties. Not me. I'm going to get right with God. No more rock music. No more country western music. No more wrong friends. I'm going to get right with God. And not only that, I'm going to start reading my Bible. Go to church. I'm going to be faithful in my tithes and I'm going to pray. And I'm even going to give to missions. But let me come in and just sit down and don't bother me because people irritate the fire out of me. Hello, but you know what I'm saying is true. People don't get out of the ministry because the commode didn't flush. People don't get out of the ministry because the bus didn't drive one Sunday. They get mad at other people. You're not right with God just because you got rid of the rock music and just because you're not cussing and just because you're not doing the wrong. You're not right with God completely just because you're praying and reading your Bible. Jesus said, when thou art converted, when you're all the way back up where you're supposed to be, strengthen the brethren. Then when he came back out, all those guys were out there, seven. He went out there and said, you guys come eat. They were eating. He said, y'all got enough? Yeah, Peter, come over here. You're the ringleader here, son. Peter, do you love me? Well, Lord, you know I love you. Feeding lambs. Remember when I told you about strengthening the brethren? If you'd get back into this, somebody else would. And he said, well, Lord, you know I love you. He said, do you really love me? He said, yes, I do, Lord. Yes, I do, Lord. You know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. Then he asked him a third time. He said, Peter, do you really love me? And Peter said, Lord, thou knowest I love you. He was grieved. He said, you're almost there, Peter, but you got to feed my sheep. Who are the sheep in your life? What people are you touching? Oh, I'm doing this. I'm doing this. I'm praying. I'm reading. Not quite there. It's about others. It's about ministry. It's about nurturing. It's about strengthening the brethren.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. Or if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you come visit our church.